Blog Talk Radio.
Couple of difficulties.
Good evening, America.
This thing is on. This thing is on. Are you on this thing?
Yeah.
Merry New Year.
Merry New Year.
How you doing?
Hey. You know you.
How you
go? Start me with that.
There are only a few people that I can rely on to catch that right away. And you, I knew, would be one of them.
All right. Nancy. Are you getting me started? Because then and I stepped on the ball. Yeah, we were over in Sang Bang, Bang Bang Tang, Air Force Division 93.2.
Poontang, Agent Orange, that's all
right.
I was
right,
Agent Orange.
Right.
I was in all them places.
The cop that he's talking to was my godfather. He passed away right after my daughter was born.
The black godfather. Cop?
Yep. Charlie Brown. Now, you know Yvette Nicole Brown, the black tradition
yes.
community, that's her uncle.
Wow.
And he was my godfather. Small world.
We's baby's kids.
So, what's up with you?
Okay, so since we're talking about that, I have a confession, America. And Kamal, you will probably try to take my card from me on this one. But I did not know until the other day that Rashida Jones is Quincy Jones' daughter.
Oh, you know what? I should fight you. You talking about me.
I had no idea.
But you know, she does look a lot like her mother. She really, really does. But come on, son.
I was clueless in Seattle.
I wasn't clueless in Seattle.
Well, I was. I had no idea. I had actually no idea. And for those of you who are just as uninformed as I am, Rashida Jones stars in Community. Not Community.
Yeah,
sorry,
The Office.
Parks and Rec.
I've never seen Parks and Rec, so I don't
and
know. But
I don't think you're
office?
Missing anything. She was in The Office,
which I never even watched.
I love The Office. It was one of my favorite sitcoms of all time. But then she parlayed that season and a half long role into a co-star role on Parks and Rec. And she's also done a few other movies. But I had no idea she was Quincy Jones's daughter. And for those of you all who don't know who Quincy Jones is, turn in your human being card and just get the hell off of the planet.
Right. He played the piano player in The Wiz, but other than that, I don't know much about him.
Oh, my God. I'm going to come up with something somewhere, somehow, that you are not going to be able to turn into the Wiz connection.
Good luck trying. But am I lying? Was he not the piano player in The Wiz?
I have no idea.
He was.
I believe you.
He composed the music for the movie, the music that wasn't from the playbook. He did the music for The Wiz, the score and all that stuff. And he was the piano player when everybody's turning it, wearing gold and green and red.
I want you to know that I believe you, but I also want you to know I am so glad I had no idea. Because as we've discussed several times before, I'm still flabbergasted that you were one of the seven people who saw the movie.
Now, look. Don't you be talking about The Wiz, because I was ready to fight you over Michael Jackson last week. Don't have me put the pause on you for The Wiz this week.
Just saying.
Whatever, Negro.
Just saying. So, what's been going on in your world?
I don't like your ass anyway.
You love me. I love me. I'm the baby.
Not right now, I don't.
Got a baby. Gotta love me.
Now, you know, Rag, you made my hand hurt. My eye was twitching. I got that, you know, that headache you get at the crown of your head. And my pressure went up. I thought I was going to have a stroke last week. I was ready to fight you.
My work has been not in vain.
Effing with me?
I gave you what you needed. I gave you all you could handle. You wanted
whatever.
It. You needed
it. I've been ready to fight a whole lot of people over the last week because R. Kelly had the brilliant idea of taking questions on Twitter, and Black Twitter dragged him. But, of course, when you start talking about all his pedophilia and disgustingness, people got to throw Michael Jackson in there, and I'm just overdone.
There were no videos that I've known of Michael Jackson doing anything to
a child.
That's what I said.
Until you show me a video, it didn't happen.
Plus, as I've said to you on numerous occasions, Michael Jackson could not pay me and say he was guilty of molesting my child. Michael Jackson molested my child. I'm not asking for money. I'm not even asking for leniency from the court. I'm just going to hang my foot all up and down Michael Jackson's behind.
And again, as I've
said before, Mike Tyson, different story. Child might just have to learn to enjoy a little extra company every now and then.
You're so stupid.
But Michael Jackson, nah. Michael Tyson.
You better get out of here,
all that noise and crying.
I can't. Just roll the boy over.
Ain't nobody want to hear about all that.
No, that's a fire. Just roll the boy over. Put the fire out.
Just so we're on the same page.
You're wrong.
Just so we're on the same page.
What's been going on in the world besides Beyonce?
Yeah, she had a secret album.
Beyonce is a bad bitch. She's a bad bitch.
Shut your mouth.
You can't say nothing. She was like, here y'all go. Oh, oops. Did I just break the internet? Oops, did I just destroy the record label in the process? Did I just pimp the business? Oh, my bad.
And how many people did she have to step on to do it? How many people had to go unpaid and thinking they were doing something because they got little teeny cars to drive around town and sport in? Nobody.
No,
she didn't have to.
What?
She didn't have to pull a
Pebbles, a TLC.
Pebbles. I get right. Call the girl Babyface.
Yeah,
she
was like, Beyonce was like, here is my dust with a little bit of Dookie in it, because y'all can't get none. Y'all can't do this. Everybody, it was like Taylor Swift's birthday. Who? Oh, Luby Fiasco dropped today. Who? Mm. Oh, Lauren dropped a secret single. Who? That's why she's the queen. And you know what? I didn't even like Destiny's Child. I couldn't stand Destiny's Child. I don't know why. It just, you know, it might have been a generational thing, you know, because they were so much older than me at the time. When she went solo, I was like, okay, I can get with this. You know, I don't steal all her songs, but, you know, a good share of them I do own. But child, please. And this one, this is grown folks music. She got like one song about her baby. And then, like, 9 songs about how she made that baby. And then the rest is some miscellaneous bullshit. But that album is explicit.
I'm going to have to check it out. I have yet to check it out because, as you know, I do not purchase music online. I listen to it, and then I rememberize it.
You don't think I bought it, do you?
No. No, I don't know.
You got me twisted.
You have insiders inside that hook you up. I just listen to music and rememberize it in my brain.
Right. Well, some of those hookups are on YouTube, I'm just saying.
Okay. Need to know. You know how to find me. Just shoot a brother a link. That's all I'm saying. Just shoot a brother a link.
Look. There is the one called Partition. There's Blow. Those are my 2 joints right there. Listen to them and tell me if you ain't a new fan.
Would you? I'm going to have to check it out.
You can bypass that superhero. I think it's called Superhero. That song is Booty.
Well, we all know that I am your superhero. That is without question, unequivocal, and without any question, I am your hero.
Right. If I need 4.5 minutes of loving,
well,
you're the one I'm going to look for.
The New Year's coming. You might have to cut 30 seconds out because I got to get my party on.
Right. You're going to have a little bit too much drinking, a little bit too much eating.
That's right. Just so we know up front. Pace yourself. Just. Take your time.
Dumb.
Do it right.
So, besides the official burial of Nelson Mandela and Beyonce breaking the internet,
the interwebs.
She broke the interwebs, and the Republicans doing their usual hemming and hawing. What's going on in the world?
Okay, so let's just get this out the way first, because I think this is the supreme foolishness of all foolishness to end the year. And I have to preface this by saying only in this country.
In the United
now,
States country.
Hey.
Yes.
You want to hear some Vendetta
tonight? So, I'm playing this song underneath this story because I know you've heard the story. about the Fox reporter declaring that Santa Claus is white.
Oh, yeah, Megyn Kelly, is that her name?
Yes.
I just call her dumb bitch, so I'm not sure what her name is.
Let's just be clear. Santa Claus is a black man.
I don't know about all that. But.
No, but reality is, you're going to declare, and I'm sorry, children in America, a fictional character is anything other than a fictional character. Santa Claus is not white. Santa Claus is not Asian. Santa Claus is not black. Santa Claus is not brown. Santa Claus is a fictional character.
Yeah, Santa Claus is Santa Claus.
It's Santa Claus. And we are here in the year 2013, about to be 2014, having an argument, a discussion about what color a fictional character is. Quick, what color is the Easter Bunny?
Well, actually, the Easter Bunny is Native American, but I wouldn't go say nothing.
Okay, I'm going to call shenanigans on that because I think of the Easter Bunny as a light beige smothered in onions and gravy. Because he ate rabbit for Easter. They had the nerve for their faces with this as a controversy. Santa Claus is a fictional character. His description varies from country to country, from household to household, but a story written by a man to promote Macy's Christmas pageant became the de facto depiction of Santa for most people, but it was just one person's interpretation of what Santa's supposed to look like.
So, wait a minute. FYI, I really hate you for that song because I swore this year you were not going to Rickroll me with it, and you just Rickrolled me with it. So let's just get that clear.
I could have hit you with I'm Fat Daddy, which is the Baltimore classic Christmas song, but I'm not, because it's not germane to this conversation.
No, but you get me every freaking year, man.
I'm trying to culturally enlighten you. And by enlighten you, I don't mean
you.
Making you white. I mean enrich your Christmases experiences.
Now, I'm ready to punch you. Whew, okay, go on to your point.
I just feel like there is no level at which certain segments of the news media will stoop in order to propagate.
Year.
I mean,
every year Fox pulls this crap. You know, if it's not Bill O'Reilly drumming up everybody about the war on Christmas.
Right.
You know, and how we're all Satanists. It's this crap. Every year, Fox has to pull some junk. I'm trying not to curse so much. That's my New Year's resolution, you know.
Well, that year ain't here yet, so you can curse your little ass.
Yeah,
out
I know,
right
but
now.
I'm trying to. I got to work up to it. I got to work up to it.
Can't tell you times I've heard you say
but
that. Go ahead.
Hey, I made it to March last year without cussing out one stranger. I can do it. I'm going to try and make it to April this year. But every single Christmas.
Experiencing technical difficulties because Kamal has gone off of air. Are you there? Hello? Kamal has been dropped temporarily. We'll get back to her, but I'm sure if she were here, she would say, Yale. You are the person who knows everything about anything, and your intelligence quotient is so far off the chart that we are all just mere students in your arc of intelligence, because you, sir, are the cat's meow. I know that's what she would say if she were here. Oh, she's back.
See, they're coming for me.
I'm telling you, the zombies have a strong lobby.
No, that was all Fox and the Illuminati.
You know, Illuminati could get us for Liberace and the Popettes, so prepare thyself.
They cut me off in mid-brilliance. But,
tell me more. Tell me. So you were saying?
I don't even know what I was saying. That they pull me up every year. What was I saying? I was just.
You were saying
when they
about Fox pulls this every year about trying to drum up something. War on Christmas.
Fox isn't the only one that, you know, deals in propaganda. You know, we have our propaganda on the left. True enough. But them mofos over at Fox, they got this down to a science. They know how to drum up their base, all, you know, the white people over 52.
Uh-huh. 62,
yeah, because you're coming up on 52, so. I'm not
white yet. But I'm not white yet.
That's true. Well, you didn't know about Quincy Jones and Rashida Jones, so I'm calling that into question.
In my defense, Rashida Jones' mother is white.
That's true.
It's okay. So, go ahead.
So, who are you talking to?
Who am I talking to?
Yeah, when I came on. Who are you talking to? Yourself? The audience?
I was explaining to America how you would, if you were still online, you would be praising my brilliance.
Oh, your brilliance. Oh, I thought we were talking about my soon-to-be husband, your brother. Okay, my bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who learned everything from me?
Huh. Okay. I'm going to hold you to doing some footwork on me then. So, but I mean, you know my point. It's just, it's so ridiculous. And I mean, what's the point? What is the point of going on national television and declaring that Santa is white? Really?
Well, you know, my belief is it all goes back to their ridiculous hatred of the current president in any way, shape, or form to disassociate his likeness from anything else.
I think we need to go on Zazzle and make an Obama Christmas card with him as Santa.
We could do it. We could do it. I think I'm fully for it. But, you know, I grew up being made aware of how society in the 60s and 70s, and before that, of course, in this country, had geared things to always demonize blacks. And I know you've heard this before. Angel food is white, devil's food is black. Good guys wear white hats, bad guys wear black hats.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is part of it. You can't come on Fox and say, kids, Santa is your personal Santa to each individual child. Santa is who your parents tell you Santa is. It's nothing wrong with white kids believing Santa is white. It's nothing wrong with black kids believing Santa is white. It's nothing wrong with black kids believing Santa is black or white kids believing Santa is black. Santa is the embodiment of love from people who care about you, expressed in one day of the year, over and above all the other things that are done for children and people all during the year. But to make it a racial thing, I mean, that's a whole new low. And I'm really disappointed in them for this one.
Wasn't she responding to a satirical piece?
A blogger.
By a blogger. Mm-hmm. Who basically said, let's make him a panda. I mean, a penguin or something like that. I didn't read I didn't read the origination of the whole brouhaha.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, did you read the blogger's article?
No, I didn't. I heard about the blogger statement about make Santa so we'd be offended. But with that being said,
that was the gist of her argument. The color out of it.
Right. No, the gist of the blogger's argument, yes. Her argument was, no, we need to make sure our children know that Santa is really white.
Woo, Fox.
Now, we had a local station here about 7 years ago, right before the Christmas holidays, come on and, well, Christmas Eve, I should say, come on, the broadcaster, the newscaster was on, and he was describing all the things going on around the city, around Baltimore, in anticipation of Santa coming. And he showed there's a street here in Baltimore that every year, I mean, they've been on national commercials, how they go out, the whole neighborhood goes all out for Christmas decorations, and their lights are, you know, can be seen from from airplanes going over and everything. And it's just a huge deal. It's a huge deal. So they showed that, and they showed kids at a mall here in Baltimore that is, okay, it's a completely black neighborhood, 130% black neighborhood, Mondawmin Mall. And they showed some kids lined up to see Santa. And the broadcaster, the newscaster said, but we know that's not the real Santa. Which you can say, okay, we'll go with that. We'll go with that. And then the very next thing he shows is some kids going in another mall going to meet the real Santa.
So the Santa in the black neighborhood was bootleg.
Right. The black Santa in the black neighborhood was bootleg. I picked up my phone because this was before the interwebs was really, people weren't tweeting. Facebook wasn't a thing. I lost my mind. I called the station directly and said, I want you all to issue an apology right here and right now. And I'm not talking about apologize to Santa, but I want you to apologize to any little kid who's watching right now who went to Mondawmin Mall to see Santa and now just was told that's not the real Santa. And to me, it's not about whether Santa's black or Santa's white or Santa's green or Santa's orange. It's the fact that you just told kids who may have had no other access to seeing a Santa Claus this year that the Santa Claus they thought they saw was not real. And that's bull. And the person I talked to said, well, it was just an interpretation. There's no need to get upset. And I said, it'll be a reason to be upset if for some reason or another everyone is there, what you all did, if you start watching your news station and start watching the competition because they're not identifying the Santa in the neighborhood as fake Santa. So, you know, and again, it's not that I want you to validate a color for Santa Claus. I want you to stop putting a racial spin on something that's for children. Parents work really hard. Some of them don't work. Some of them do whatever they can do to provide a Christmas for their children. And when you tell them, Santa Claus is definitely white, and these kids may have never seen anything but a black Santa, that's kind of spirit killing, and that's unfair. So that's my soapbox issue. Plus, as you know, it's been proven by the song.
I cannot stand you.
The little girl's telling you, Santa Claus is a black man.
Wow, you just... You just intent upon making me say bah humbug.
This is going to be in your ear all tomorrow.
No, it's not, because I'm going to put a pencil in my ear.
Didn't your mama tell you to stop doing that? And oh, by the way, that's not your ear.
Dumb.
So, let's go from the ridiculous to the sublime. Here we are, 1 year since Sandy Hook and the tragedy that that situation was.
And oh, look, we have gun control.
Oh, total gun control. People who have guns are trying to control the argument against taking their guns away. Again, no one's trying to take your guns away. But clear across, not clear across, but clear across the country, once again, insanity visits Colorado, and we have a shooting in another school.
I do not understand what is going on with Colorado. I really, really don't.
Colorado has some very relaxed gun laws and obviously some very strict teachers.
But you know what? My husband told me that. I mean, there are pockets of Colorado that are just filled to the brim with Tea Party people. I think he said Colorado Springs had passed this ordinance that they weren't even going to pay for streetlights or parks or roads because they were done. They were done with the taxes. So if you want your streetlight turned on, pay for it. And come up with the ducats.
And this is where we are. This is where we are. We're not going to pay for streetlights so people can't get killed crossing the street. But
right.
We will pony
so
up money to keep children, give them the ability to allow them to keep the ability to buy guns and shoot up their schools.
Right. I think that was his point. The same people who are making you pay to put on your streetlights are the same people that are fighting any type of common sense gun legislation in that state.
Mm-hmm. And we wonder why. Now, this young man, what I've read is true, this young man went in to shoot up his teacher because he was kicked off the debate team.
See, we didn't do that. Okay, so first of all, I'm only 25. But we didn't do that shit when we were growing up. I mean, I remember Brenda What's-Her-Face. She shot up Cleveland Elementary in San Diego, where I'm from. So that was that anomaly. I think that was in 1979, 78, 77. I just remember my grandmother calling my mother in a state of panic because she didn't know what school I was at. But aside from that incident, this just didn't happen. You did not kill your classmates, and you did not shoot your teachers and shoot up the school. You did not.
No, but you could hate your classmates and hate your school, but you just didn't shoot them.
Right. You didn't start spray in your school because you got kicked off the debate team. You might spray your teacher's car.
I mean, can we just discuss this for a quick second? The debate team. Do you think maybe you were kicked off the debate team because you didn't know how to have a civil argument without trying to shoot people?
He seemed like a little too intense to be on the debate team.
Can you imagine if he hadn't been kicked off the debate team? Today we discuss the pros and cons of fishing with a license. No, we're not going to discuss that. We're going to discuss, I'm going to shoot you.
I couldn't stand my DECA teacher. How I look coming to school and shoot my DECA teacher. Seriously?
I mean, this has really gotten out of control. But yet, again, 1 year after Sandy Hook, we've learned nothing.
And Colorado sure as hell is trying to teach us something.
They are. Stay the hell out of Colorado if you want to debate anybody about anything. You ain't got to tell me twice.
Or watch Batman. I'm good.
Right, don't go see Batman. Don't go to a school in Colorado. Because not only will we get you in the movies, we will get you in this school and Columbine. It's on and popping in Colorado.
I am at a loss. I am truly at a loss. What more do we have to do? I mean, it's you know, there was loss of life, but it's a blessing that it wasn't the entire student body. You know,
true.
It's a blessing that we weren't seeing, you know, 10, 15, 20 kids shot up. I mean, any loss of life is horrible, but as these types of things go, yeah, this one was pretty tame.
That 15-year-old little girl. You had a 15-year-old little girl who was shot, who was in the wrong place at the wrong time. She was in school, and caught a blast.
I was getting ready to say, I hate that we live in a society where I can make a statement like that. Oh, they only killed one. They only shot two. I hate that I live in that kind of society. And it makes me worry for my own progeny. You know, I watch my kid like a hawk. She's in basketball practice. Yeah, we're doing another sport. She's in basketball practice. I watch her walk in. I watch her greet the coach. And I don't take my eyes off of her until I see that the coach has her eyes on her. When I was young, my mother would have been like, bye. Go ahead and schlep 2 miles. I may be able to pick you up. If it gets dark, I'll pick you up. But other than that, you on your own.
Well, you know what? We're not even going to. You know, I've discussed here before, and if Ed Lacey is listening, one of our most ardent listeners, former classmate of mine, I've discussed here before. How we lived right inside the you have to walk to school zone. So like if we lived two streets away, I'd have rode the bus to school. So kids that I played with and hung out with who lived two streets down from me would ride past me on the bus as I walked to school every day when I was in high school. But I would stay anyway for wrestling practice. And after wrestling practice, kids whose parents actually drove miles to get them to my school would come and pick their kids up, and I'd still be waiting for my mother to come pick me up from wrestling practice. And wrestling practice is when? In the wintertime. And what's in the wintertime in Maryland? Coldness. I would walk home in the dark a mile and a half in the coldness to get home. And I don't think my mother was concerned about something happening to me. Then again, maybe she was hoping that something would happen to me. I don't know now that I think about it. But you can't do that today.
Yeah,
out of your mind.
I was lucky growing up in San Diego because in the wintertime, it's still, you know, 65, 70 degrees, and it really didn't get dark until about 5:30 or 6. But I didn't have a school bus in elementary school. And my elementary school was like a mile and a half away. We had to hump it.
That's right.
And I lived kind of rurally, so we didn't even have a bus. In my neighborhood, the closest public transportation was the trolley, and that was 2.5 miles away.
The trolley?
Yeah, we have the trolley.
I hit the brakes for a second. Trolley.
Yeah, but it's not like the little wooden ding, ding, ding kind of trolley. They call it a trolley, but it's like light rail. You know, you've never seen the San Diego trolleys?
I've seen the San Francisco trolley.
No, it's not like that at all. It's more in line like light rail. That's what they look like.
Okay. Okay.
But it was called a trolley. It still is called a trolley.
We have the light rail here in Baltimore, so I'm feeling you. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, it ran on railroad tracks and all that stuff. But that was 2.5 miles away. If I missed the school bus, shit. Lynette wasn't coming to get me. You on your own.
And again, even though that was just a few years more than 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah, that was like 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I roll.
Right. I know exactly how you roll.
Now, you know what? Speaking of age, I have to tell you this. I saw somebody that I see today.
Ooh.
And I feel so old.
Why do you feel old? Because they turned 50.
Because I can only say I'm 25 for so much longer. Something's got to give. At some point, people are going to start to realize that I'm not really 25. I'm going to be busted at some point.
Yeah, well, you said it every year that I've known you, and I've known you now. For what, 6 years? And when I tried to creep you up 1 year or two, say, well, you know, I've known you 6 years and you were 25 when I met, so you must be 27. You go, no, I'm 25. So I'm trying to help you.
And what you talking about? We've only known each other for 6 years.
Lies,
yes, lies, and more lies. You know we came out the same womb.
No, because I'm going to tell you right now, my mother said only one is passing through here. And that is a wrap.
Your mama sounds like me. I'm like, I'm good.
Thank you. Thank you for the experience. I don't want to play anymore. Bye-bye now.
Right. G-O-O-O-D. Good.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm sorry. Back on topic. I'm at a loss. I just don't know what we're supposed to do. I don't know how I'm supposed to protect my child anymore. I don't know how to reconcile sending her to what's supposed to be the second safest place on this planet for her, aside from someplace with her family. School is supposed to be a safe haven for her. And I just don't know. I mean, of course, I'm not going to take her out of school and homeschool or anything like that. But
good Lord,
know,
please don't.
What you talking about? She will go to college.
One and one is who gives a damn.
Einstein. A little Einstein.
She may be, but...
She'll just be talking to Indian people in Spanish, that's all.
she can count nuggets like a mug, though. That's for damn sure.
Right, right. My girl knows her math, her mathemication. But, I mean, you know, I mean, in all seriousness, I just don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I hate, and I'm not that kind of person. I'm not the kind of person that, you know, worries incessantly about their, I'm not a helicopter mom, you know what I mean? I give her space mm-hmm. and her freedom, but I feel like sometimes that even that's a disservice to her, that I'm not keeping you know, a close enough tab on her as much as I should 24/7. You know, it's just like, at what point do I, you know, watch her like a hawk, and at what point don't I? I mean, obviously when I'm sending her into the gym and stuff and anybody could just walk up and snatch her, I keep a close eye on her. But I give her a lot of independence. And is that independence going to bite me in the ass one of these days? And how do I send my child to school knowing that, you know, and I know statistically it's not going to happen, but I'm sure plenty of parents wake up in the morning saying, statistically, this isn't going to happen. And it's, you know, they're burying their child because some asshole got a hold of a gun.
Right. And decided to make a point by shooting up people. Or wants to die by suicide by cop.
Right. You know, and our kids are close in age. I mean, what the heck are we supposed to do? We can't get the government to do anything. You know, I mean, there are days I want to fly to Ohio and just bop Boehner in his grill. You know, maybe if we jack him up.
Well, you can't miss him. He's the one that's glowing orange.
But you know what?
You can see him a mile away.
Then they'll get the message. I'm not suggesting anybody go shoot Boehner. That's not what I'm saying.
Or any politician.
But get up in his face.
However, Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck are fair game. I'm just saying.
But, I mean, you know, and not even them two knuckleheads. I'm at a loss, and I hate feeling like this. This is the worst, well, one of the worst ways a parent can feel. I mean, obviously, if you've lost your child, that is the worst. But the helplessness of knowing that there is really nothing I can do to protect my child in this situation. Nothing.
Exactly.
I have to leave it up to God and the teachers and the principal. There is nothing I can do to prevent this from happening. God forbid it should happen.
And you just know never to move to Colorado. Not to say that they'd be safe where they are, but Colorado seems to be number one on the hit list, if I can use that term.
But you know what? I mean, is it just Colorado? You know,
no, I'm saying
point?
It's not. It's not.
I mean, in all likelihood. But, you know, our gun laws here aren't that strong. Did have one student in Eastern Washington shoot up somebody, shoot up a classroom, I want to say 12, 13 years ago. And we've had, like, you know, some drive-bys and stuff like that, or, you know, just like two kids fighting and then one brings a gun. You know, we haven't had any mass shootings like that. But, you know, people get depressed around here because of the weather. You just never know. What do we do?
I mean, the sad thing, the sad reality is we now live at a day and time where there should be no expectation of safety for your children anywhere, even at home.
And isn't that sad? Isn't
school,
that sad?
Church, movie theater, the mall. It's just, it is. It is really sad. It's sad and unfortunate. I guess.
Yeah,
I forgot
to mention the mall. Yeah, I can't even go Christmas shopping. That's why my ass is Christmas shopping online. I can't even go Christmas shopping without it being in the back of my head. Ooh, I hope some fool don't come in here and shoot this place up.
Especially now that they've taken sporting goods stores out the malls, when you can't even go in there and grab some tennis balls and pour some gasoline on them and shoot them and light them and shoot them back at the people. Thank you, low down, dirty shame. I always wanted to do that, never got to do that because now they've taken the sporting goods stores out of the malls.
Oh,
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Shoot, that changes my zombie apocalypse plan. I was going to secure them all. Ooh, okay,
yeah.
I got to jump back 20 and punt.
Yeah, you know you got to go to prison now. You see that on your show. You got to be on a prison. I, myself, am going to be on a ship in the middle of the ocean.
Well, I've already figured out this farm that I'm taking over. And then we're going to head over to, we're actually going to head over to the nuclear power plant that never went online.
Mm-hmm.
Try and get me from there. Just try.
Yeah, I'm going to go with my ship in the middle of the water because I ain't seen a zombie stroke yet. I ain't seen one swim. At all. And let me just add this sidebar since we didn't talk about this. I finally watched World War Z and no.
Look, it was PG-13. What did you expect?
I expected not to see every cliche zombie gotcha that was in
now,
every scene.
Now, wait a minute. When they were scaling that wall, that was new.
Yeah, but the reason they scaled the wall was just as old as the day is long. They knew somebody's going to start playing music. No, someone's going to start playing music loudly and attract them.
They do that on The Walking Dead. It's any loud noise. They'll do a car horn or anything.
Right.
I'm okay
and
with
I spent in Zombieland. I learned that music, loud noises attract them. So when the people started singing and they got the megaphone, I was like, oh, this is going to be some shit up in here. And sure enough, when the doctor who was going to figure it out was given a gun, I was like, this mother is going to shoot himself.
I didn't see that coming, but it cracked me up.
When they said, okay, oh yeah, we have those deadly diseases here in the CDC. Really, where? In Wing 13. I was like, you know the zombies are taking over Wing 13. Where? Right there. They're the zombies right there in Wing 13. I was like, really? I mean, my only question, and without trying to spoil the end of the movie for those who have not seen it yet or watched it yet, is they did not explain to me in enough detail for me how after he injected himself with this deadly disease that was going to kill him, he did not die.
Well, they thought it might kill him. They weren't sure.
Yeah, but now you're going to inject everybody with a disease that's going to make the zombies feel like they're going to be dead soon anyway, but it didn't say how you're going to cure these people of a disease that is going to kill you.
Oh, no, they can't ruin it, but they dropped care packages, and that's all I'll say.
Yeah, they dropped care packages of the disease to pay for people to inject themselves.
Right, with an antidote.
I didn't see anything about an antidote, because if it's a disease that's going to kill you.
No, it's a disease that could possibly kill you. It could possibly kill you. Not necessarily would it. But they had an antidote for it.
Okay. The only thing I didn't see coming was the Israeli soldier being hot. I was like, ooh. She kind of hot. And she seems to be functioning pretty well as a right-handed person.
Right. As a
right. It really wasn't that traumatic. But okay, so let me get off of zombie apocalypse because, you know, I'm sorry, World War Z, because, yeah, we could do movie thing all night and we still have to discuss the budget compromise that hit that looks like it's going to pass the Senate, and there will be no help for unemployed people. I feel like we've been sold out.
Every chance they get, they send us up the river. And I put me in that category because I'm middle class now. So, and middle class is the new poor. You know, there's poor and real poor.
Right. No, there's poor, there's real poor, and there's really poor.
I hear you. I feel you.
Yeah, because I'm really poor, but
right.
I ain't real poor.
I mean, I'm not even going to tell my husband's business, but he makes a good living, and I still have to work.
Yes, he does make a good living, because pimping ain't easy.
No, pimping ain't easy. Wait, that's my profession. I mean, part of it is my spending habits. Maybe if I reeled it in a little bit, but at the end of the day, no. I mean, the car note, the mortgage, you know, all the other little incidentals, and my kid doesn't even go to private school. I have to work. You know, gone are those days.
Let me just interject this real to ask this before it gets away from me. Thanksgiving holiday and the Christmas holiday can be very stressful to a lot of families, regardless of your socioeconomic situation, regardless of your station in life, no matter what life you lead, wherever you are. But aren't you, regardless of what you have to deal with in your family dynamic, aren't you really happy that you are not Kim Jong-un's uncle? Because I'm just saying.
You know? Woo! And I have family members that I want to take out, but would I? No. Woo! That little short mug, you know what? I ain't stepping to him. I didn't step to his father. I really ain't stepping to him.
I just want to know what could have been the issue.
Dennis Rodman better handle this. Somebody better call Dennis Rodman and have him talk to his little short best friend.
I got a feeling Dennis better not even go over this. And what happened with your uncle?
Right. Maybe Dennis should, actually, because, you know, I've been trying to get rid of your cousin for a minute.
That would solve a whole lot of issues with one stone.
Wouldn't it? And I'm not saying kill the brother, but just keep him for a little while.
Show him what a real great leader really is when you got to spend
right. Four months
living right. As a regular person in North Korea. And then come back here talking stuff.
Just show the brother a good time. Come on a long tour. And it's not like we won't be able to find him. How many 7-foot black men are in North Korea? We can see his ass.
Yep, with white hair. With white hair.
See him from outer space. We'll just tune the Hubble. That direction. Oh, there he is over there by them pandas.
and again, you know, in a common society, you have to give your individuality, son. So say hello to goodbye to all your little face piercings and all that other stuff. And you better learn
right. How
to bow low enough that your head is below 5'1", Kim Jong-un.
That is so crazy. And I want to know, one, what his uncle did, and two, how that conversation went. I know how the conversation ended. But I didn't know how the conversation started.
You want to know how the conversation started. I want to know at what point did the uncle realize, oh, shit.
Right. Did they have him in the back of a car in between two people? Was Lucky driving?
maybe it was something as simple as, could you please pass the salt? In a minute. Oh, it ain't going to be in a minute.
Stop him at a toll booth and he get out. And they just jack him up at the toll booth like Sonny. I don't know. Was it his brother-in-law that dropped dime on him? These are questions
I don't know where we're going to get the answers, but I know who you better not ask.
Okay. Was he taller than him? Did he get mad about him being taller than him? Did he, you know, squeeze the booty of one of his women? I mean, what was the catalyst that makes
My dad said, maybe he said something about that haircut.
Dear leader. Why don't you swoop it over to the right instead of the left? Because it's not working for me on the right.
Your ears look a little high. Oh, really? Oh, we're going to be talking about haircuts? All
right. Right. What you tell him I wear lifts for? That wasn't none of your business. Hell.
When your job? When your job? Oh, I guess you're going to have me busting rocks from now on, huh? Oh, no. You ain't going to be busting no rocks.
No, not rocks. I got some for your ass. It ain't rocks.
It ain't rocks. But I bet you won't have nothing else to say.
Right, you're going to learn today.
I bet you won't. You're going to learn today. Well, you know, I feel like maybe we should end the show here. I wanted to, I thought about earlier trying to list out the people who all the people we lost in 2013, especially with Joan Fontaine and Sir Peter O'Toole passing away this week.
And Billy Jack.
Billy Jack died?
Yeah.
Are you serious? I didn't hear that.
Yes, he did.
We lost Billy Jack? Well, he was old when he was doing the movies.
Yeah, yeah. No, we lost it with Peter O'Toole and then Fontaine, Joan Fontaine and Billy Jack died on the same day. I think it was Friday and then the other two on Saturday. And then we laid Mandela to rest, I think, on Sunday.
Hmm. I did not know that and I was just talking about Billy Jack the other day. And America, for those of you all who don't know who Billy Jack is, do yourself a favor. Go down to whoever video rental store or booth they have and watch a really good, really bad movie, any Billy Jack movies starring Tom Laughlin. Laughlin.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but what were they called? Standing Tall? And he carries a billy club with nails in it. What? Or was it a 2x4 with nails in it?
No, Billy Jack just took the shoes and kicked you in the face.
Oh.
It was Billy Jack, the trial of Billy Jack. Billy Jack goes to Washington. For
and there was
anybody,
a fourth one, right?
The Born Losers was, I think, the sequel, was the first one. And then from The Born Losers, he did the Billy Jack.
Okay. I thought there was four of them. Okay.
And then I remember, like, later, in the 80s, they did a Return of Billy Jack or Billy Jack Comes Back or something like that.
Something like that. But, I mean, the significance, I mean, you know, I know a lot of people haven't heard of him, but the significance of the Billy Jack films was that all the studios promised him to make it, that they would make it, and then they pulled out, and he had no funding. And so he had to finance that movie all on his own, and it turned around and made $40 million in $1970.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so that's pretty significant.
And for those of you who thought or think that Steven Seagal and Kevin Costner are self-serving actors in the movies that they direct and produce, you ain't seen nothing until you seen a Billy Jack movie. Because he was the model. The model for them.
But you know what? He had to be, because the studios didn't give him any funding, so he and his wife, you know, I'm pretty sure if we look close enough, we will see his wife four times in different outfits playing five different characters.
Right. But she was always the rape victim or the, right. with the person that was being chased by the rapist or the one
who
was in trouble.
Wasn't he like always a Sunday school teacher or
she was
an
a teacher or a college
or
college,
secretary.
She was a college professor trying to help the underprivileged college students who lived on a reservation in the Midwest.
Yes, the Native American theme ran heavily through his movie.
Yes, and he single-handedly saves the Native Americans, just like Steven Seagal did in the movie where he was in Alaska.
All the Choctaws.
Right, right. So, but I had no idea he had passed away. Those movies were very interesting. I remember going to see the trial of Billy Jack and afterwards trying to take my shoes off and kick people in the face. Because you have to understand, as a child, I had some really weird things. My parents would take me to adult movies and then hope that I wouldn't be influenced
like,
by them.
Bow chicka wow wow.
Like in 1972, at the tender age of 10, I was taken to see The Godfather. And then for the next almost year, I just knew I was going to be Sonny Corleone. I knew I was going to join the mafia. I walked like Sonny Corleone.
You got my reference about being at a toll gate.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And the brother-in-law dropping a dime. Yes, but you couldn't tell me I was not going to be in the mafia. I was walking like Sonny, talking like Sonny, and I was 10. and then, of course, I went to go see the trial of Billy Jack when I was 12, and I no longer wanted to be in the mafia. I wanted to take my shoes off and kick people in the face. Didn't want to take karate.
You know what got my ass in trouble? Enter the Dragon got my ass in trouble, followed by King Christie Love. Followed by Cleopatra Jones. Man, I Cleopatra Jones my cousin right in the temple. My mother wore my behind out.
Now, I did tell you that Cleopatra Jones was my next-door neighbor, right?
No, Dobson was?
Yes, Tamara Dobson grew up, lived next door to my grandparents, the Beverleys. Her brother and my father were best friends, yes. And
not the Dobbs. Yes.
And her youngest brother, Peter Dobson, his son is now playing wide receiver for the New England Patriots.
Wow. See, you know what? Her death was too early.
What you talking about? She died like 4 years ago.
Young age.
She spent the last, 10 years in a assisted living facility for people who have lost their marbles, if I can be so gentle about it.
You know what? That wasn't disclosed. I thought that she, I didn't realize that she had other health issues such as that.
I just
know that she died. I was like, I think she was 50-something. I was like, wow, she's only 50-something. That's tight.
That's wrong. how old was Tamara? I don't think she was that young because she's my mother's age, around my mother's age, I thought. Let me see.
Ow. I guess I'm not the only one that lies about her age.
Yeah, I don't think you are. Cleopatra Jones, starring Tamara Dobson. Tamara Dobson. She was born in 1947 and she died in 2006.
Right, so she's like a year older than my mother.
Right, and your mom's not 50-something.
My mom,
well, they say
she
was 59.
My mom was 50-something in 2006.
Did I mention your mom was hot?
My mom, in 2006, my mom was in her 50s, because she's 65 now. in 2006 was how many years ago? Seven? Selma mm-hmm. Mom was like 58? Yeah, that's what I thought. She was in her 50s.
Well, your mom is hot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, she gets it from me. I'm just saying, you know, pop my collar.
Yeah, well, the official, she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, but Tamara had she led a hard life in Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not
yeah.
surprised. Black Hollywood in the 70s wasn't no joke.
Right. You didn't get there on merit. A lot of times.
That's why we need to bow down to Pam Grier, honestly.
Yes, especially when she made her first movie at 19.
Right. You know, and, you know, Richard Roundtree made it through, but there's only a handful of them that's still left. And
right.
only a handful of them that didn't die young and didn't die away, you know.
Some bizarre way or under some very unfortunate circumstances.
Right, you know, dying from diabetes, kidney failure at age 41. You know, that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Tamara
well,
died
you know,
with...
they just did heroin for 15 years, and, you know.
Right, and she did not leave... She didn't leave here with money in her pocket.
Well, yeah. I mean... She did what? Cleopatra Jones and Cleopatra Jones 16 Gold and some television appearances? Am I embellishing or forgetting?
She did a few more movies,
but
there
know,
were only like two or three Cleopatra Jones movies.
Very, very few of them made it outside of the black exploitation era. After 1979,
right.
78, 79, a lot of those, you know, they stopped making those movies and their careers dried up. That's we got to give props to PG because, you know, I mean, she had a dry spell, but she's made it between John Carpenter and Quentin Tarantino. She had
mm-hmm.
a nice comeback, but she's few and far between.
Right, and that's right. She got her start in Fuzz. So that was her big movie role. She was in Fuzz, and... She did a lot of TV series, and there was two TV movies, well, one TV movie, Amazons, that she was in. I remember calling my grandparents and telling them I was watching a movie, and Tamara was in the movie on television, and they turned it on to watch it. But next door, right next door, 6'2". Still considered, if I'm not mistaken, the tallest leading lady ever in Hollywood. Because you can't be tall and be a leading lady in movies. The leading lady, the leading actress must be shorter than the lead actor, unless it's The Attack of the 50-Foot Woman or some such nonsense.
Oh, Sigourney Weaver is like 6 feet tall, so that's one. But, yeah, your point is still taken.
Mm-hmm. And Sigourney, in all of her big movies, where she's not the lead, even when she was a lead, they never showed her towering over anyone. They probably had people standing on boxes next to her, like in Aliens and
Well, no, Bill Paxton, Bill Paxton's her height. Harrison Ford is her height. You know, so those are her two. Those are two significant roles that I can think of where she was standing next to a man.
Yeah, but Bill Paxton wasn't the lead guy. Who was the guy's
name?
No,
but Harrison Ford was.
Harrison Ford. That was the movie where she went down and no.
That's Working Girl. Where he goes to the bathroom and does not wash his hands. Oh my God. Nasty.
Michael Biehn. Michael Biehn.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She, I don't know if she's as tall. If Michael Biehn was as tall as her, because I just keep memorizing the two of them standing there, and she's being taught how to use the gun.
You know what? I don't think he was taller than her, because I'm thinking of him in Terminator, and Linda Hamilton is only about 5'6", and he's not much taller than her.
Right, right. Linda Hamilton, another Marylander.
Cool.
Yeah, he's 6 foot, so they would be eye to eye, and they would probably make her stand like an inch or so lower than him, so that he could still look. Ta-da.
Well, you know, Alan Ladd was like 5'4", and they would just dig ditches and trenches. Everybody
yep.
walk in the trench.
Yep. Yep. And Mel Gibson is not tall. Neither is his career anymore, but still.
Yeah, no, Mel Gibson is 5'7". Tom Cruise is 5'7". The rule of thumb, because I know exactly how tall Sam Jackson is. So that's my rule of thumb. He's shrunk a little bit. He's probably more like 6'2 now, 6'2 and a half. But when I met him, he was 6'3". So that's how I compare everybody, because he's in movies with everybody anyway. So
mm-hmm.
I can tell just how tall, exactly how tall you are when you're standing next to him. And you know who else isn't very tall? Ice Cube. I was standing on a curb, and he and I were eye to eye when I was standing up on that curb. I think he's about 5'7", 5'8". Yeah, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them that are there's a lot of women who are very short. I was really surprised. Now, Queen Latifah is 5'9½" in stocking feet. But a lot of the women I was eye to eye with, or sometimes even taller. I'm taller than Christina Ricci. I'm taller than Juliette Moore. They look so much taller on screen, but 3/4 of women in Hollywood are under 5'4".
I believe that.
Well, man, what you want to do?
Well, I think so you can do your shopping, and we've touched on all the subjects. Let's end the show early. I had lined up.
Yeah.
I had lined up some, as I said, some Black Christmas carols for you, but.
In case you didn't hear me.
I think this year I'm gonna let you slide.
Yay!
I want you to be safe through the holidays.
2014.
Hopefully. If the zombies don't get us.
Thank you, me.
I'm going to be on my ship in the water. With my gun.
I'm going to rethink my strategy.
Well, come on. Another year's coming gone, babe. Love you. Love our show. Looking forward to 2014 and seeing what Santa brought you down your chimney. America, please be safe through the holidays. There ain't an Xbox One in the world worth getting trampled at Walmart. We will catch you on the other side. Good night. And thanks for listening.